Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to Talk to Monet. I just wanted to thank everybody for already supporting me. When I first put the little post on Instagram and Twitter, I was a little nervous, but I was just kind of like, I have to go for it. So I just want to thank everyone for like reposting my posts that I make on Instagram and Twitter, like shouting my page out. I know a lot of people have like started asking me for advice and stuff like that, which I really do appreciate, but I do just want to tell people, like, I'm not really a therapist or anything like that, so I'm not even a psychology major, so people hitting me up, like, asking me for relationship advice, I just want to tell you, like, I'm giving you the best advice I can give you. It's not professional advice. It's just advice from personal experience or just, like, things that I think about and, like, how I think and how I move and like things I accept and stuff like that. So I don't want anybody just hitting me up thinking like I have the right answer. I don't have the right answer. I just have the answer that I, for me, that will work for me probably. So I just want to get that out the way before people start acting like Dr. Phil or something. But I just want to talk about in this episode how I got to this point of like self-growth and like self-awareness and the things that I experienced to even get to this point to want to do a podcast. Basically how I started, my birthday, I just turned 21, so I'm still young. Like a lot of older people say, basically I'm 15. But I just started growing and I just started this whole new process that I'm trying to like do this year. And basically how I started was on my birthday, May 14th, I turned 21. And people were like texting me on my birthday, like, you're so inspiring, you're so strong. I know some of the stuff you've been through and you can't tell and you just go so, like, you just go through life with so much confidence and so much grace and all this other stuff. And I was just kind of like, on my birthday, I really appreciated it and I was just texting people back like, thank you, I appreciate it, like, love you too and stuff like that. And then the next morning, like, I don't know if I just woke up emotional or it was just like one of those days or what, but I started reading the messages and stuff again and like the DMs and stuff again. And I was like, what are these people talking about? Because the 20th year of my life sucked. Like, I went through so much stuff and it was just really hard for me. So seeing people like say that they seen confidence and strength in me still, even though like some days I just didn't see it or just didn't have it in me, meant a lot. So it led to me making this post on Twitter, and I basically just told people, like, honestly, I appreciate all the birthday shout-outs and all the kind words and stuff, but I just want to tell y'all, like, I've been through a lot this year, and, like, I know you guys look at me as this confident person that looks like she hasn't been through much, and I basically just ran it down within, like, the year of 20. Like, me and my dad had a really bad relationship due to just a lot of things in our past that we had to deal with together and on our own. I finally found like a therapist for my depression that I knew I had been suffering from like for a long time, like since high school, like maybe even before high school. But in high school, I knew that like, okay, I have a problem, but I didn't take care of it until I turned 20. I went through like a really, really bad relationship. Like, I don't want to call it horrible because it taught me a lot, but at the time I thought I was going to die. And, things like that I just basically went through, and I just talked about how I ended up having to have an abortion procedure, my second one, to be honest. And I just talked about things like that, and so I just told people, you know, like, everybody goes through things in life, but it's just about how you recover and how you deal with it and how you love yourself throughout that, and that's going to give you the best outcome of yourself when you're going through things. And when I posted it, actually, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so it was kind of coincidence. And I just posted it like, you have to take care of your mental too, because that is going to determine everything in your life. And when I posted it, I was like, why did I just do that? Like, 2 minutes later, I was like, I should delete this. Like, but I was already like, if you put it on the internet, it's already there. Somebody already done screenshotted it. It's already hit my timeline. Like, whatever. So I just was like, forget it. Fuck it. So then, after that, people started, like, texting me and DMing me and tweeting me and just different things. Like, some people were like, I appreciate you for putting that out there. I've experienced the same thing. Or some of my friends just texted me, like, I know the things you've been through and I'm just so proud of you. And, like, I'm happy that you put that out there for people to see, because people have always just kind of known me, like, to be this hard person that doesn't show much emotion. And there's, like, a reason for that as well. But that's how people have always known me. So for people to see, like, this emotional side of me and just, like, open and telling people, like, I go through a lot of shit and I have before. My friends were just, like, so proud of me. Some males hit me up telling me, like, one male even hit me up saying he experienced something similar. I don't know what I didn't ask. I just told him, like, you know, you'll get through it and all that other stuff. One male even hit me up saying him and his girlfriend had to go through the whole abortion thing. And he just asked me how he could help her moving forward. And I just gave him the best answer. Once again, I'm not a therapist or a psychologist. So I just told him the things that would have helped me during my time of need. So yeah, people just felt like a lot of encouraging things, which I really did appreciate. And at that point, I just left the post alone, like, whatever. Thank y'all. I really appreciated it. And then a little bit later, like within a month, 5 or 6 people were like, you should do a podcast. And I was like, oh, I don't know, because I just was like, nah, I'm not doing that. That's not really my speed. But I did realize I started writing a lot. My therapist directed me to write down a lot of my emotions and my feelings, and she gave me some good books to read. And I just started realizing that me writing and talking about the things that I've experienced or the things that I'm going through and the things that I'm learning within this process started to help. So I felt like if I can do it and I can show people, you know, that I'm okay and I'm dealing with the stuff, I think people need to see that kind of stuff, because for a long time I hid behind it. And hiding behind your emotions and your feelings and your tragedies is just the worst thing you could do, because all you're doing is smothering them. They're not growing. You're not changing within that time. So I think it's super important to just let go and start handling the things that you need to take care of and focus on, pretty much. So basically, that's how I got to this point. So I just want to talk about the things that I've experienced and how they relate to you guys. I know my post was very, like, brief and short, but this first episode is not going to be the stuff y'all thought I was going to be talking about. It's not going to be the topics. It's really just about me and what is making me do this and how I relate to you guys and how my opinion does count towards the things that I will be talking about, because there are things that I've experienced. So basically, I just want to talk about, like, losing my brother. So in 2009, I was 11 years old and my brother was 16 at the time. And this is what puts my standpoint on, like, police brutality and black men, and I just have a strong opinion and things like that because of this situation when I was 11 years old and moving forward from it, because obviously, like, losing your brother is something that you'll never fully heal from, but this is where my opinion and my heart and my passion goes in with this topic. So I was 11 years old, my brother was only 16, and it was the summer of 2009, July 5th to be exact, and my brother, we're from Compton, so that's where we lived, and at the time, my brother was walking down the street with his friends, and basically what had happened was the L.A. Sheriff Department stopped him, and for some reason, it was him and his two friends, and for some odd reason, my brother just decided to flee while they were getting searched. The reason behind that, I still don't know. I just hold on to the point that the fact that, you know, he was scared and my brother had issues with probation before. So I feel like those were factors that kind of just led into him taking off. But when it happened, my brother was basically ended up getting shot in the back. I seen it on camera. I was only 11 years old. I wasn't there, obviously, but I seen it on recording cameras from the places nearby. And at the time, it didn't take a big effect on me because, I don't know, I was just really numb to it. This was 2009, so this was before all the police shootings and the police brutality was on the news. So to a certain extent, I was kind of ashamed because I wasn't used to it. I didn't know that things like this happened for no reason or it's just something going on. I literally just thought my brother did the wrong thing. And so to an extent, I was ashamed, but I was very hurt from it. I was only 11. I have a lot of siblings. I could tell all of us were hurt. Like, it affected all of us in different ways. After it happened, we had a lot of press conferences. It was on the news. And that took a lot. That took a huge effect on me because it didn't give me the time to heal that I needed. It was just all in the news. I remember even seeing my brother laying on the bed, like on the table in the coroner's office on the news. And they had, like, his private parts blurred out. And I was only 11 seeing that. So it was, like, really traumatizing. Like, I'll never forget that day, like, seeing that. I just never got to heal when we went to the funeral. I hadn't cried. I mean, what is a funeral? Like, a week and a half, 2 weeks after the death? I didn't cry or anything. That was my first time seeing my dad break down and cry when the police department brought my brother's belongings. And I never seen my dad cry before. My dad is one of the hardest people I know, like probably is the hardest person I know. Just so to see him break down and cry, it just like took the life out of me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, just I would never wish this on my worst enemy. Like, it is like traumatizing. So we went to the funeral. Once again, I was only 11. This was my first funeral of somebody that I actually knew. Like, this wasn't an old auntie or great auntie or somebody that was 80 or 70. Like, this was somebody I grew up with, knew all my life, took care of me, like, had my back. Somebody I knew, like, the back of my hand, like, my best friend. So we went to the funeral. Everyone was crying. I just didn't feel that emotion. I was very numb to it. I didn't feel it until it was finally time to view my brother. And I don't know if a lot of people have been to funerals. I know some people don't like them, but especially open casket funerals, where my brother's was. And I don't know if a lot of people know, but the person does not look, when they're in a casket, they don't look the same. They have makeup on, the skin blemishes, you know, aren't there. Like, once again, my brother was 16, so he had pimples and like bad acne. So to see him look like a whole other person with makeup on, it literally took the life out of me. And I just remember breaking down and crying. I'll never forget it. My family had to like pick me up. And it was just really traumatizing to see that at 11 years old. And I can only imagine how my younger siblings felt. Me and my brother were really, really close. So it just took the life out of me. I remember when we went to the gravesite to finally put him in the ground, I just kept thinking like, that was not him. That was not him. So that situation did take a lot out of me. Moving forward, I didn't really deal with it until I got to high school. All throughout middle school, which was like 11, 12, 13, 14, I never really dealt with it. I didn't talk about it that much. Birthdays, I went to school like nothing happened. And I think it was because I went to a predominantly white school. So when you tell somebody, like, or you tell a teacher or somebody, like, what happened, they kind of are like, well, what did he do? Like, why did it happen? And I just never wanted to deal with that. So I never talked about it to anybody but my family's, not even my close friends in middle school. And I didn't deal with it until I got to high school. A lot of my friends knew in high school. I just started to post my brother a lot more and just show, like, my love for him a lot more on social media. So a lot of people knew. My counselor knew in high school. So a lot of times when I had those days where I needed to go break down, I would go basically take care of it and just break down. And I knew that I needed a therapist, but I think in the Black community, we look at therapists as something's wrong with you, or we look at depression as like, we jumped from depression to suicide immediately. And that's completely different. I never had thoughts of killing myself. Till this day, I never have, or even harming myself. But you definitely need somebody to talk to help navigate your feelings and the things that you're going through, besides family or friends, because their opinions are always going to be a little biased. They know you. They know the person. So they feel like they know how you would react. They feel like they know how you would think. But I definitely think you need to go to a professional. If you ever do have those feelings, or just like, if not even if you're depressed, but if you really just have something to talk about, I really think, like, now that I've done it, I think it's like one of the best things I've ever done in my life. But moving forward, I just started to deal with it, and it took a huge effect on my life. There was days I just didn't want to deal with shit. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to get out the bed. Really unmotivated. So, you know, losing my brother, I think about what my life could have been with my brother. But then losing my brother, I think about how my healing process, where I could be at now. It just took away from a lot of stuff. School, it started to affect grades at times. Just losing focus on the things that counted. Bringing in other things in my life to fulfill a happiness, like boys or just things like that. Going out, having a good time, instead of just focusing on things that would have helped me build my success. It also took a huge effect on the relationship with my dad, which is something I also did in my post. My dad is very gang affiliated. So when it happened, you know, it happened in a city, it was as if no, you know, the city and the sheriff's department, they just really didn't care, because it was kind of like a karma thing. Like, you know, you've done this and you've done that. So, I mean, you know, what happens to your son, that's bad karma. So I think that took a huge effect into my dad, and he blamed himself a lot for the loss of our brother, and he just didn't deal with it either. And at times I really do wish he would have gotten help for all of us, because we all really needed it, and I still do think that he needs it. So it took me and my dad have been through a lot, ups and downs. One year we're the best of friends, the next year we're not, and it's just because a lot of misunderstanding. I expected things from him, like support and things like that, and he probably just really wasn't able to give it. So at a certain point, I had to understand, like, all right, he don't know. He just don't know, and that's okay. You can't blame people for being unaware. You know, you just kind of have to let them live and figure it out on their own. So that's what I just decided to do. Until this day, we kind of have that same situation going. I love my dad to death, but it's just something that, you know, you can't take away from your growth to, you know, bring people along with you. If they're not ready, you got to keep going too. So I think the relationship with my dad also took a huge effect into relationships that I've had. I've probably got my first serious boyfriend that I would say, like, was super, super serious, that I took serious and, like, really loved him and would probably have killed for him. My senior year in high school. So I was, like, 17. And that relationship was really, 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 really toxic, really, really bad, especially for the age that we were. Especially for me, I don't know, you know, I can't speak for the other party, but it took a lot out of me. Just a lot of cheating and lies. And when you're young, and I feel like at any age, when somebody cheats on you, it makes you second guess, like, yourself, what you bring to the table, why they want to be with you, why they will even, like, do that to you. So there was a lot of times where I was just like, why is he, like, doing this? And what's wrong with me? And what am I not bringing to the table? Instead of just realizing that you can't take things personal. Sometimes it's not you. It's literally them. And so I had to just kind of deal with that. And I stayed with him for, like, about 2 years of just, like, cheating and lies and just, like, mental, just, you know, his parents didn't like me that much and just different things, just trying to satisfy everybody but myself. So even if I wasn't happy with it, as long as everybody else was happy and he was happy, like, we were good. And I ended up just realizing a lot of things. I mean, like, from what I know, in our 2 years, like, your year and a half of being with each other, I mean, he had sex with, like, 5 other girls. That's what I know of. And so, you know, it was drama. It was arguing with girls. It was looking at myself like something was wrong with me. And I just really just had to realize once I started getting a little older that, like, all right, this isn't good. But, of course, I stayed in it because people like to be comfortable and just do things that make them comfortable. Eventually, I started college, and I ended up getting pregnant. And that time around, I did not want any parts of it. I just was like, I'm not ready. I'm 18. I'm young. I don't know anything about this. Like, I'm good. And he was younger than me. He was a year younger than me, so he really can't do nothing. So we just kind of talked about it and agreed, like, you know, it's not a good time. So I ended up just telling my mom. And I told my mom, and I handled the situation. And this is how I started to realize that I was just so focused on him rather than myself and making myself happy and focusing on myself. He plays sports, and I had to get the procedure done on a Thursday. And the doctor told me, he specifically told me, do not, you know, you cannot be too active. You need to rest. The next day I drove an hour to go watch him in his game. And, you know, things like that weren't really appreciated in the relationship. And that's when I knew, like, okay, obviously I'm doing too much. I need to take a step back and focus on myself because I'm breaking literally my neck and my back and getting sick to even hold this relationship and keep it going. And he's not doing the same. And I think a lot of girls do that. We try and have, like, this rider, you know, image in the relationship. And at a certain point, we just got to get that shit up because it's not always reciprocated. And that's just a lot of lost energy towards things that could be focused on towards yourself. I mean, I probably could have started a business by now if I wasn't so focused on him and, you know, the people after him and, you know, why I'm not enough and just things like that. So that was that. And I ended up just getting the procedure and it was what it was. And time went on and you got to remember people are who they are. People can change, but I don't think they can change unless they want to. He ended up getting a girlfriend on me. Like, one day it was like, boom, girl, he my boyfriend. And that's when I was like, all right. So I blocked them. I blocked everybody and I kept pushing. And this is when I started to realize following this relationship that I had an issue with being alone and being on my own. And that there was something in me that just constantly needed to feel like I was loved. And I just searched for that in other people instead of just myself. And hobbies and reading and things that could benefit me. So I ended up dating somebody else. I met this person like a week after I blocked my ex. And things got serious fast. And he was older than me. And this is where I bring in like the whole daddy's issue thing. Like, you know, when you're not getting the attention or the things that you need from your dad, people think it sounds dumb, but you need that kind of stuff. Like, girls need that. And so this person was a little older. He was kind of trying to direct me and help me. And, you know, I thought since he had this going and that going and this going, that, like, it would benefit me. But at the end of the day, if it's not meant, it's not meant. And not everybody always has pure intentions towards you. So time goes on. We still dating, whatever. And things just started to get a little toxic again. Like, niggas like to cheat on me. Niggas like to lie to me. Like, what the hell is going on? And so we weren't even in a relationship. And I was just taking things for what it was and just, like, hoping for the best and thinking of all the qualities he brought to the table and thinking about the things that my ex brought to the table. And the list, one person definitely outweighed the other. So I thought it was, like, a little boss up or a little bit of a better situation, and it wasn't. It ended up being even worse for me because I'm older, my emotions are different, the things that I need are different, the things that I'm looking for are different. And the same things kind of happened, lying, other people. He kind of judged me a lot. And once again, like at the time when I met him, I was only like 19. So he was like 23, 24. And the things that he expected from me, I could literally not give. Like, I could not give. So it kind of made me start feeling down about myself, and I felt like he could be with somebody older. So it started to turn into this, like, competing thing, and I think women do that a lot. They start to compete with other women when everybody's different. Everybody is their self. Everybody is their own person. We've all been through different things. We've all experienced different things. We have different minds. So the competing, the whole idea of competing and trying to be better than the next woman is literally the dumbest shit ever, because you're not the next woman, you're you. So I started just like going through the same things I went through before, and I ended up getting pregnant again. And this time I was like, oh my God, like I cannot get another abortion. I was like ashamed of it. I thought I was older, so you know, like maybe I could do it. And I felt like no one's ever ready to just have a baby. So like, if I'm not ready, that's not a bad thing. Like I could probably do it. And he was a little older, so he was like in a little better better position. So I'm like, maybe, you know, he can, but I just realized it was already still a bad situation. I'm not ready to be a mom. My mom still, like, makes my plates and shit. Like, I was not ready to be a mom. So I just kind of had to realize that it wasn't best, even though, you know, that sad place in me felt like, you know, a baby could fulfill that empty emotion that I do have and things like that. So I had talked to him a lot about it a lot, and he was about to go through a big transition. He was about to get his master's, so it was already bad timing, bad situation, bad timing, bad people. So I was like, yeah, nah, we're not going to do this again. But it did take a lot out of me because it was something that I really did want to experience. And time went on and our relationship just started to get worse and worse and worse and just like completely crumble. And I found myself kind of like begging to be with him or begging to keep the situation going or keep us like together. And honestly, like, he wasn't going for it. And this is why I tell a lot of people, now that I'm out of the situation and I'm happy and people see me, like, having fun and going out and gaining weight, they're like, what did you do? And it's like, girl, he did not want me. He blocked me. Like, there was nothing else I can do. So please stop taking that advice completely serious, because I didn't have a choice but to move on. The situation was bad. We both wanted no parts, and it was just dry. It was dead. So I eventually just, we both agreed, like, we're not going to talk anymore. We're not going to deal with each other. It is what it is. I wish you the best. And that's where we went with it. And I was still emotionally involved. And I remember this, my due date was April 10th. And at the time I was kind of like over it, but that was the date. And I remember us talking a little bit before, and I asked him, you know, about this other person I thought he was dealing with. And he told me the day before I was supposed to have our baby, as weird as it may sound, like, I don't want to deal with you anymore, and this is who I'm talking to, so I think we just don't need to communicate anymore. And that shit took the life out of me. At that point, that's when I just knew people are going to move and do things that are best for them and find better positions for them. You can't always think about the person next to you or the people in your life because, like I said earlier, it'll affect your growth process. If somebody's not ready to go, you can't just always try and pick them up and take them with you. And I was hurt, and so after that, I really went through this bad period. I lost a lot of weight. I could barely eat. I was just so sick inside. Like, how could this happen again? Like, and my emotion to him was a little different. I was a little older. I went through a lot of situations that he knew about, so he knew a lot about me. And it was a little more personal than just a high school relationship. But at the same time, it was what it was, and I was just really sick about it. And I remember one day, I went like all day without eating, and like 7 o'clock hit, and I was driving. I'm like, I haven't even ate yet today, 7 p.m. And I remember stopping at Chick-fil-A, and I ordered my meal, and I could not eat it. I couldn't eat the nuggets. I couldn't eat the fries. And I just remember texting my best friend, like, in the car crying, like, I can't eat. I'm sick. Like, how could this happen to me? And, you know, all your friends can do is just, you know, try and uplift you in that moment and, you know, tell you things to make you feel better, reassure you that you're moving forward and what you're doing is better for you. But I was just so sick, and I think that was the day that I just decided, like, all right, I got to turn shit around. It's no reason to be this sick. I've experienced way worse and way bigger losses than this before. But I think out of just everything that I have been through in life in general and within recent times toward the situation, not just with him, but with my dad and my family and life and school, and, you know, I finally started getting help before even me and him stopped dealing with each other. I started getting help with my depression. So it was a lot going on, and I think the emotions just took the best of me within that month or that 2 month period. And that's when I just decided, like, I gotta turn shit around. The woman I want to be is not gonna end up happening if I keep going through these same emotions, going through these same things, thinking as negative as I think, keeping relationships in my life that aren't helping me grow, aren't keeping me happy, aren't benefiting me. And not every relationship is going to be perfect, but if it's a constant struggle and it's taking away from your confidence and your growth and your passion towards things, like, I definitely think it's a no-go and you got to stop it. You got to end it. So I finally just decided to let go and appreciate the things that I do have and the friendships that I do have and how healthy I am and that I'm deciding to get help and things like that. So that's what just got me to the point where I was like, all right, I'm going to change things and I'm going to do what's best for me. So that's how I got here. And so basically moving forward with this podcast, I just want to talk about things that are passionate to me and others. And, you know, when I made this post, so many people hit me up saying, thank you for posting this and thank you for doing this. And I think a lot of people don't have courage to deal with their situations, which is completely fine because it's not easy and it's not the most comforting thing to have to open up to people about things that you've done or things that have happened to you and things like that. So I feel like this could be a platform for other people to just kind of come to and, you know, take from it whatever they need from it, learn from it, get a different standpoint on things, open their eyes to different situations, different viewpoints on things. So that's basically why I came and decided to start this Talk to Monet podcast and my website and my Instagram, my Twitter, and just start this whole thing because I think a lot of people need this. I think when I was in high school, if there was somebody talking about the things that I was going through or experiencing or just kind of giving a platform for other people to know, like, you're not the only person going through it, I think it would have got me a lot further. Maybe I just didn't dig deep enough to find it, but that's what I'm here for. I'm just here to do that and that only. Once again, I'm not a therapist. I'm not here to guide people to make irrational decisions or decisions that aren't best for them. I'm just giving words of encouragement, words of advice from my viewpoint. And, you know, I'll be bringing on other people to talk about things like once again, I said, police brutality, relationships with their parents, friendships, relationships, financial literacy, just things like that to help this younger generation grow and be more self-aware of the things that they need to grow and be more successful in life in general. So once again, I do just want to thank everybody for being supportive to me and sending kind words. I hope I don't sound ugly, but I just appreciate it a lot, and I want you guys to keep tuning in to my next episodes and the things that I do have coming up. And thank you again. And I hope you got this far into the podcast. I hope I didn't bore anybody, but I do appreciate you guys again. And thank you for tuning in to Talk to Monet's first episode.